The following is a review of the fixed income principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by the CFA Institute. It is also covered in fixed income securities, defining elements. Before we begin addressing the learning outcome statements, there are two important points about fixed income securities that may be helpful as you study this topic review. The most common type of fixed income security is a bond that promises to make a series of interest payments in fixed amounts and to repay the principal amount at maturity. When market interest rates increase, the value of such bonds decreases because the present value of a bond's promised cash flows decreases when a higher discount rate is used. Bonds are rated based on their relative probability of default or failure to make promised payments. Because investors prefer bonds with lower probability of default, bonds with lower credit quality must offer investors higher yields to compensate for the greater probability of default. Other things equal, a decrease in a bond's rating will decrease the price of the bond, thus increasing its yield. The first LOS for this topic review is to describe basic features of a fixed income security. The features of a fixed income security include specification of the issuer, the maturity date, the par value or principal value to be repaid, the coupon rate and frequency, and the currency in which payments will be made. Several types of entities issue bonds when they borrow money, including corporations. Often, corporate bonds are divided into those issued by financial companies and those issued by non-financial companies. Sovereign national governments. A prime example is U.S. Treasury bonds, but many countries issue sovereign bonds. Non-sovereign governments. Issued by government entities that are not national governments, such as the State of California or the City of Toronto. Quasi-government entities. Not a direct obligation of a country's government or central bank. An example is the Federal National Mortgage Association, or Fannie Mae. Supranational entities. Issued by organizations that operate globally, such as the World Bank, the European Investment Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. The maturity date of a bond is the date on which the principal is to be repaid. Once a bond has been issued, the time remaining until maturity is referred to as the term to maturity or tenor of a bond. When bonds are issued, their terms to maturity range from 1 day to 30 years or more. Both Disney and Coca-Cola have issued bonds with original maturities of 100 years. Bonds that have no maturity date are called perpetual bonds. They make periodic interest payments but do not promise to repay the principal amount. Bonds with original maturities of 1 year or less are referred to as money market securities. Bonds with original maturities of more than 1 year are referred to as capital market securities. The par value of a bond is the principal amount that will be repaid at maturity. The par value is also referred to as the face value, maturity value, redemption value, or principal value of a bond. Bonds can have a par value of any amount, and their prices are quoted as a percentage of par. A bond with a par value of $1,000, quoted at 98, is selling for $980. A bond that is selling for more than its par value is said to be trading at a premium to par. A bond that is selling at less than its par value is said to be trading at a discount to par. And a bond that is selling for exactly its par value is said to be trading at par. The coupon rate on a bond is the annual percentage of its par value that will be paid to bondholders. Some bonds make coupon interest payments annually, while others make semiannual, quarterly, or monthly payments. A $1,000 par value semiannual pay bond with a 5% coupon would pay 2.5% of $1,000 or $25 every 6 months. A bond with a fixed coupon rate is called a plain vanilla bond or a conventional bond. Some bonds pay no interest prior to maturity and are called zero coupon bonds or pure discount bonds. Pure discount refers to the fact that these bonds are sold at a discount to their par value, and the interest is all paid at maturity when bondholders receive the par value. A 10-year $1,000 zero-coupon bond yielding 7% would sell at about $500 initially and pay $1,000 at maturity. We discuss various other coupon structures later in this topic review. Bonds are issued in many currencies. Sometimes borrowers from countries with volatile currencies issue bonds denominated in euros or U.S. dollars to make them more attractive to a wide range of investors. A dual currency bond makes coupon interest payments in one currency and the principal repayment at maturity in another currency. A currency option bond gives bondholders a choice of which of two currencies they would like to receive their payments in. The next two LOS ask us to describe content of a bond indenture and compare affirmative and negative covenants and identify examples of each. The legal contract between the bond issuer and bondholders is called a trust deed, and in the United States and Canada, it is also often referred to as the bond indenture. The indenture defines the obligations of and restrictions on the borrower and forms the basis for all future transactions between the bondholder and the issuer. The provisions in the bond indenture are known as covenants and include both negative covenants, which are prohibitions on the borrower, and affirmative covenants, which are actions the borrower promises to perform. Negative covenants include restrictions on selling assets that have been pledged as collateral, a negative pledge of collateral, which means the company can't claim that the same assets back several debt issues simultaneously, and restrictions on additional borrowings unless certain financial conditions are met. Negative covenants serve to protect the interests of bondholders and prevent the issuing firm from taking actions that would increase the risk of default. At the same time, the covenants must not be so restrictive that they prevent the firm from taking advantage of opportunities that arise or responding appropriately to changing business circumstances. Affirmative covenants do not typically restrict the operating decisions of the issuer. Common affirmative covenants are to make timely interest and principal payments to bondholders, to ensure and maintain assets, and to comply with applicable laws and regulations.